All right, we're rolling.
All right. Hey, everybody. This is Trippy Tommy and
Big Kurt. What's going on, everybody? Hope you're doing good.
We have the lead singer of the band Ballyhoo here with us this evening, and it's going to be a good one, man. I love these guys. I listen to him damn near daily. He's a host of his own podcast called Tales from the Green Room. I listened to the one today with Duddy B of the Dirty Heads, another one of my favorite bands. Really, really awesome. He has always given out tips for like young artists like myself on how to do the thing, and we really appreciate that, man. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me, first of all. Appreciate it. Welcome to the Stooge. This is the Bat Cave. So this is where like all the when they bring bands in and stuff. I was telling them to put the Bat Cave, recorded at the Bat Cave or whatever.
Right. Nice.
Yeah, man. My name's Howie and I sing and play guitar and write songs for Ballyhoo, and I've been doing that for 25 years.
Whoa.
And yeah, it's been a minute.
As long as I've been alive, that is
Oh man,
incredible, dude. That is so cool.
fucking weird. I feel old.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to date you like that,
No, it's fine. It's fine. yeah, and I have a podcast, Tales from the Green Room. Where yeah, you kind of called it. I talk about all things being in a band, production, how to market, things like that. And then I got a YouTube channel and just I don't know, I like to make stuff, man. Just like making stuff. So I'm trying to just do all of it.
I know you were a busy dude, man. I recently just found your solo album and the cover you did of the Mac Miller song, and oh my gosh,
Oh
so
man.
good, dude.
Thanks, dude. I was really happy how that turned out. I heard the song the end of I don't know, 2019, I think. And
Right.
I just kind of I fell in love with it, and it sucks because he was already gone by that point.
Right.
I don't know, it just really connected with me, and I thought that I could do it some justice as like a cool reggae song or something,
Yeah, it was cool. Like your flavor on it was like incredible because I already loved the song, and then I was like, "Oh shit, how he covered it! I'm deaf about check it out." And
Yeah.
I heard it the other day. I'm a utility locator, so it's my day job. I'm out like locating lines so people can dig and put stuff in the yard, things like that. And yeah, man, I was on Spotify and I seen that. I was just listening to the latest album, and oh my God, thank you for that. This year needed something like that. It was so good.
Dude, thanks.
I've been listening to was it California King, I believe is the name of the song.
Yeah, yep.
Yeah, dude, I've been listening to that on replay since it dropped as a single on Spotify, man. It's so good. It reminds me of my girl, like sometimes we go out and she's just being crazy with her friends. I'm like, man, I would just rather be at home, just drunk, doing the thing, like I would rather just be with her, but it's just like I get it. We still got to make face and do all that stuff. So I appreciate that your music comes from like a very honest place. Like the first time I heard you guys was actually at Warped Tour. I can't even remember what year it was. It was the year D Daydreams came out. What year was that?
2012. 2012. Well, it was 2011 when Daydreams came out, but we Warped Tour was 2012, that following summer.
Oh man, that was the year I graduated. So yeah, that was a big year for me, and I was really big into like Dirty Heads and Sublime already, and I just so happened to be walking past the stage you guys were playing in Indiana, and I was like, oh my gosh,
Indiana,
this is
nice.
cool. And I missed it, and I was so mad at myself. So I went and bought the album. I talked to you guys, and I was like, wow. And then ever since then, I've just been every time you guys put something out, I'm on it, and it's really cool.
Thanks a lot, man. Yeah, that tour, that album and that tour did so much for the band. We just like you, we had a lot of new fans check us out and come to the merch table and buy that record, and it was just a big year for us. So it's great you've been hanging with us that long. Thank you.
Oh, dude! Thank you. Like that music gets me through the day. Like your song "Beautiful Day," I literally listen to that almost every day, as I'm starting my work truck and pulling up my prints. I'm like, it's gonna be a beautiful day, whether I want it to be or not. Whether I woke up in a shitty mood, it really helps. So, I just thank you, man. Your art is very inspiring, and it's made me pick up the guitar again. So,
That's
That's
great, man.
awesome.
Yeah, man. I mean, that's what it's all about. It's you know, I hope to inspire, you know. We want people to listen to the tunes and want to make moves, and do something with themselves, and even, you know, and even if it's just to pass the time and try to get in a better mood, or you know, whatever. That's wonderful, you know. I mean, it makes me feel good to know that people are connecting with it like that. Because you know, it's I've been having a weird couple of days myself where
Really?
I wish I was in a better mood. And I've been reading this book. When I read this book twice now, actually, called The Obstacle Is the Way, Ryan Holiday, and it's all about the Stoicism, the philosophy, and basically, like, you're in control of your emotions.
Right.
You know, I'm sure there's levels of that, because some people have, you know, chemical imbalances and things and depression and stuff. So I can see how that would be harder to manage. But for the most part, we're like, there's things we can't control, the things we can control. And one of the things we can't control is how we feel, or how we react to things, how we
Right.
react to the world around us, how we react to good and bad situations. And so those books, I mean, that book's actually helping me a lot. This last couple of days, I'm trying to get in a better mood.
Right. I know how it is, man.
You
I
know,
get
but it's
that.
definitely, I think about it. You know, it's like those words and stuff that I read, that philosophy, I think about it a lot right now, especially because I'm being challenged right now in my life a little bit, and so I'm learning to accept the challenge and look at it as a positive, and think of all the great things that will come of it, you know. So
Absolutely.
that's how I've been facing the pandemic. That's how, you know, I've been facing a lot of things. So
So is that the place that the new song "I'll Be Okay" came from? Because I felt it so deep. Like when I first clicked on it, I was like, I listened to it. I was like, this isn't like anything they've put out before. I was like, man, I feel like Howie is hurting inside somehow. Like this, I felt the emotion in it, and I was like, oh wow.
yeah, we I don't know, we've been through so much, and I've been through so much, and you know, I know I've got depression. I haven't been diagnosed. It's got to be there, you know. I'm certain that there's more depressed people than we actually know about on record, you know.
Right.
And so we all deal with it in different ways. And that song, it was a night where I was sitting right here, actually. I was trying to work on some music and do some. I was gonna make a video for YouTube or something, and I get in these moods where I'm just like, "What is all this for? What does this even mean? Why should I even do this?" You know,
Yeah.
and everything sucks and blah 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 blah. You know, just
Absolutely. We
hating
all
on
get there,
myself.
man. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what I wrote. I literally wrote that down. I was like, "I just need some time to hate on myself, and I'll be all right, be okay." So that's what I did. I grabbed my guitar and I threw my capo on there, and I've never written a song with a capo before. And
It felt very different. It did, and
yeah.
I just it felt like a different color that I haven't seen out of you guys yet. And I was like, wow. And it's a very, I don't know, I felt like kind of very pandemic, inspired because of, the world's freaking crazy right now, man. Like, my daughter just started school, and like they're having to wear a mask. She's only 5, so it's like kind of hard to explain to her the whole. Everybody's gonna look like a nurse, and like they get mad at you if you take these things off. And just the world we live in is so different than like if this would have happened when I was in school, I would have been like, hell yeah, we get days off, and hell, I could just do it at home. Come on, that's 2 hours in video games the rest of the day, please, Like,
Yeah.
but it's different because she's starting school in this crazy earthquake of us, what's going on right now. Like, it's how old are your kids, man?
10 and 6.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Boy and girl, or
The boy's 10, the girl's 6, and they're amazing kids. We're very lucky. They're super cool, and They listen, and I don't know, they're just awesome kids, man. And they, you know, we've been trying to instill the best qualities possible, you know, and while we have this time with them before they're teenagers and start going off into the world. And
Yeah, that's when it gets crazy, man.
yeah, and you know, I feel like, you know, parenting is such an important job, and it's easy to just want to say fuck it, and you know, because they can really get on your nerves, and things get challenging, you know, and but you got to stick with it and really see it through, and you know, sort of hammer it into their heads, all these the best, you know, these good the good things. And I feel
Right.
like you need to give them you need to give them the tools to deal with the world, because the world's not going to change for them, you know. It doesn't change for any of us. And
Absolutely.
yeah, and it's important that you give them tools mentally to deal with shit when it goes south, because it's going to, you know, they're going to be made fun of. They're going to be in situations where they got to decide to get in a car with their 16-year-old friend who's been drinking, you know, they gotta all these things, you know, and I want them to be like, nah, fuck that. I'm calling mom and dad. I don't care. Like I we try to stress that we want it to be a very open relationship in terms of open to conversation. We want to be able to
Right.
talk about
That's
anything.
very important, is
Yeah.
the parent, you know, child relationship, like communication especially. Like my kids are so young, that's the one thing I have to say a billion times a day. Like, use your words, man. Like, tell me how you feel, tell me what you need, and I can help you. If you're just gonna cry, man, you know, it's like two dogs barking at each other. That's how I feel like when people argue. It's like they're just trying to see who gets louder at that point, and it's not really resolving anything, you know? No, it doesn't.
With a kid, it's like you have to, you know, you're so much bigger than they are. And me, I'm way bigger than my kids, you know.
How tall are you, by the way?
I'm
I just
about
seen a picture on Instagram, and we were like, holy sh wow. Because Big Kurt is what, 6'5"?
I'm 6'5", so
Oh
you,
yeah,
I
I'm
mean,
6'6".
you're 6'3"?
6'6", 6'6".
6'6".
Yeah.
Wow, holy crap, man. I mean, I saw your Instagram pictures. You looked like really tall, man.
Yeah, man. So that's I gotta when there's a real problem, you know, I mean, you can be quick to be like, hey, whatever, you know, calm down or whatever. But when there's a real problem and I can see it, they're having an issue, I get down on my knee and I'm like, I'll look at my daughter, I'll like hold her shoulders, like, tell me what's up, baby. You know, tell me what's going on. Same thing with my son. Like, all right, man, tell me what's up. You know, you got to get face to face with them, eye to eye. You know, it's like you can't be over top and doing this. You know, just
True. It's like a power hierarchy thing. Like,
yeah.
if you're over them, it's like a power thing, and I feel that.
I think you need to teach respect, not fear.
Yeah.
You know, like I don't want them to be afraid of me. I just want them to respect me, and then in turn and respect their mother, and in turn respect other adults, and then eventually other people, you know, their peers. You know, so that's what we're trying to do. I hope it's working. Like I said, they're good kids, man. They have good manners and stuff. And it's funny, we don't get out much. Like I don't we don't I mean, not now anyway, but even before the
Right.
pandemic, we never really went out to like restaurants and stuff a lot. But you know, when we did, they got a little more rowdy than I'd like them to, you know. But like they're not used to, you know, they know how to use their manners and stuff, but I have to remind them how to act, you know, and like just
That's his
yes,
kid.
call out, and like you gotta, you know, it's a different thing. But
I get
it's
it.
cool, man. They're just being kids.
Right. And that's the thing. Like, it's real hard. Like, because you got to remember, man, that we're not on the same, like, just thinking level, you know? Like, kids don't really understand reason. Like, they just see that you're mad. They don't really know the reason why what they're doing is making you mad. They just see it, you know? And
Yeah.
that's something, like, as a young parent, I'm still really, like, I'm learning. Just the definitely get down on the knee and talk to them. It helps. It helps because they know that you're with them and you're not like just like trying to control them, and you know what I mean? And that's something I've had to work on, you know, like
Yeah, you gotta
being
work.
a parent and an artist is so different, man. Man, is it different. So how do you deal with that? Like when you guys were touring and stuff, like how do you like keep in contact with your kids? 'Cause I know if I stay the night somewhere, I'm like freaking out, like, man, texting my girl, like, how are the kids? What are they doing? Like,
Man, my kids, I mean, they've grown up with it. I've been away a lot, you know, so
right.
I'll be gone, you know, 7, 8 months out of the year, and it's a long time. And it's going to be strange getting back to touring next year, because I'm planning now. I'm guessing I'm going to be home for a year when by the time we get back to it. I got home March 1st, and it's
Oh, wow.
we haven't played a show since then. I mean, we've done some live streams, but
Oh, I know, and they're so good. I love when you guys do that.
thanks a lot. But yeah, when the
It's cool because it keeps you relevant. It's like people don't forget, because like with all the stress and like the depression for a lot of people, because staying inside, you know, I mean, we need sunlight. We need to get out and socialize. It's part of being a healthy human. So it's like for some, I have some friends that are really struggling, you know. It's like it's kicking their seasonal depression in early almost. So it's like some people that have like struggles during like the fall and winter months, like this pandemic just kind of put a stomper on them a little early, you know. It's like I feel like that's one thing that we always say on the podcast, you know, no hate language, and we're always here if you ever feel like you need to talk to someone. Like, because I've lost friends to suicide and the depression and stuff, you know, and I've struggled with it myself. Kurt, you know, here also deals with mental illness and things like that. So it's like it's very, very, very important to keep it positive, you know. And if anyone ever needs to talk, like I always want them to know that we're here. Because
That's
there's
great.
always a way.
That's a great message. That's a great message. And where you guys located?
We are in Indiana.
Indiana. Cool. That's right. yeah, man, that's a good way to be. It's nice to let people know they have a place to go, you know, and communication. I think, you know, if we all just communicated, if we communicated our empathy, you know, more than, you know, our anger and stuff towards things on Facebook, and
Right.
just communicate empathy. And I mean, people like to rant, and I'm guilty of it. I've had my share of ranting all my life, you know, just
Right, of
and
course.
ranting about things that don't even fucking matter. And you know, it's like, why? I look back at things, I'm like, why did I have that argument? Why did I have to be the winner, you know, or whatever?
Right, and that's just
Drama.
part of, you know, growing though. You know, we're that's the thing. I used to teach music lessons, and I would always tell my students, like, look, I am no better than you. I've just been doing it longer. You know, like I'm always a student. I'm always going to keep learning until the day I die. You know what I mean? I learn from my kids every day. You know, like a 4 and 5 year old, they still teach me how to be a better person and stuff like that. So it's like, I believe, especially with music and like the platform you have, you do a great job at promoting positivity and stuff like that. And I think that's why I really gravitated towards your guys' sound and your music.
Thanks, man. Yeah, we, you know, just as you're trying to do, like we're trying to let people know that you know, we're here for them, you know. And it's funny, you know, you start a band, and you know, I started a band when I was a kid, so I didn't think anything about other people's feelings. You know, I was never like, I was 14 when I started this band, and it's like,
Whoa.
yeah. So, you know, I was a kid, so I was like, there was no, I just want to be a rock star, man. That's it.
Right.
I wanted to be Billie Joe Armstrong, and I wanted to be on
Same.
SNL and VMA.
Same.
Yeah, man.
Green
And
Day, man. Oh my
totally, dude.
gosh.
And so, you know, as you get older, and as the music gets out, and people start coming to the shows, and people are listening and stuff. And now that I've been communicating with fans for, you know, 2 decades on you know, what socials, you know, at least, you know, MySpace days when I could really start.
Remember those days?
Yeah,
I was
man.
actually just, I was young when that was a thing. Like, I
Yeah.
have younger siblings. I say MySpace, and they look at me like I'm a fucking caveman. They're like,
Yeah.
what is that? You
I
know?
know.
Like,
I've been seeing people like hoping that you know, Tom brings MySpace back so we can leave Facebook because of all the bullshit.
But
right. there was plenty of bullshit on MySpace too, man. It's just where people go, there's gonna be bullshit and problems. It's just how it is, man.
I was gonna say, have you ever been on Reddit?
Yeah,
boy, man. Is there some toxicity flowing through the veins of Reddit?
Oh yeah, man. It's wherever
it's bad.
It's worse online because you're nameless and faceless.
You're faceless, yeah, man. Like, no one has to stand by their word. You could just hate all you want and be toxic and just get it out.
Yeah.
Because, like, I posted a teaser video when my band put out a music video, a band I used to be in. And, I put it in the metalcore group because I was in a band called Call Me Crazy out of Biloxi, Mississippi. It's like electronica metalcore. And we posted a music video, and, oh, man, they tore us up. They were like, dude, emo died in 2005, and they were just killing us. And it was a good song. Like, I had a great time shooting the video, you know?
People are awesome. Like,
oh, man. You know,
as wonderful as the internet is, it can be a real shit show, man. It'd be really.
Oh, dude, just cancerous at times. It's like, man, what do you guys have nothing better to do? But anyways, so we were talking about, you started your band when you were 14. Can you tell us a little bit about the members? I read that. Is your drummer, is he like your brother? Is that what it is? Mm-hmm. That is so cool. How does that work?
I don't know. We wanted to be in a band since we were kids. 4, 5, 6 years old.
That's awesome.
And our dad took us to see a band called Rat. And
I love Rat.
Poison, actually. The Rat and Poison.
Oh.
It was in D.C. in 87. And so we got to go to that show, and it was an arena. So it was just amazing. It was everything, the lights, the sound, you know, the people everywhere singing along and screaming, clapping.
The whole show.
I think I was just affected in, like, it was just electric, you know, like this is it, you know, like, this is it.
This is for me, man.
This, man, like, that was the shit, man. And like, I didn't pick up a guitar for another 6 years or so, seven years, because I tried. I had a little kitty acoustic that my mom got me for like when I was 5, but
right,
I couldn't wrap my brain around how to play guitar, you know, when I was 8, 9, 10 years old, and I just kind of forgot about it. I was still into music, but at that point I started getting into like Criss Cross and shit, and Boyz II Men and all the R&B groups and stuff at the time, a little bit of
hip-hop. Dude, boy bands were everything. Like, I grew up like as a kid in the 90s, it was like Backstreet Boys and NSYNC and like all that radio bubblegum pop was like everything. Like,
I was on the opposite end of the 90s as a kid when I was like your age when you're talking about this, like,
right?
You know, so like for me it was like Bobby Brown and TLC and Shanice and Boyz II Men, Criss Cross, you know, I was into that stuff. That was the radio pop bands of that time. So, you know, 8, 9, 10 years later, you got NSYNC, Backstreet, and Spice Girls, and
right,
all that stuff. And
but the Beastie Boys, though, really were the ones that did it for me. Like, they was what made me want to start playing music at all. That and seeing Slipknot when I was, I think it was 99 at Ozfest, and they were like 9 guys on a tiny little like 4x4 stage, damn near. And they were beating each other up, and I was like 5 or 6, and I was just like, that's what I want to do. That is chaos, and I need that. And then my dad got me a drum set a few years later, and it was just, I was like, dude, I want to be Joey Jordison so bad.
He's like, a badass.
Like, if I could be anyone, I was like, at that time, 6-year-old me was like, dude, that is drum god. I didn't know shit about Rush. I didn't know shit about anything. My dad was into like Motley Crue, so I knew about like Tommy Lee and stuff. But when you see those guys, it looks like Halloween every day. They're up there beating the shit out of their instruments and each other. It's just like, whoa.
Yeah, I was a big Motley Crue fan in the late 80s, early 90s. And man, I still go back and listen to the album sometimes.
What's your favorite?
Probably Dr. Feelgood.
Same.
True album. I really liked Too Fast for Love. And
yeah.
Shout out to the Devil. But I think Dr. Feelgood, it was like kind of like the seminal, like it was the big really had Bob Rock producing and big drums and everything just
sounded so good. It brought really like good. Arena rock to like the forefront. It was just
Yeah, it was a big time. Def Leppard was another one. I was a really big fan of Def Leppard. They're just amazing songs and great guitar work, and you know, Rick being able to play drums like that and being innovative and using pedals and
effects. Yeah, absolutely.
But just a band that could play really well. And so I saw them as well, like a year later after that Rat show in 88. And I mean, they're incredible. And it just, you know, my dad was very supportive, both parents, but my dad took us to the shows, you know, and he got us all the gear, like little drum. We never had like a full drum kit in the house. After we did when I was a little kid, cause he was playing drums in some bands, but uh-huh. We got rid of the kit. We didn't ever have a drum kit. I should have asked him that, like how come we never got another drum kit, but he got us like little, drum pads and things and keyboards.
Right. Right.
Stuff like that. But as I got older, you know, when I actually started playing guitar and we started the band and everything, he'd buy me like pedals, like effects pedals, and
that's cool.
Yeah. And then he paid for the first couple recordings that we did. And I remember we recorded an album. We did 16 songs in like 36 hours. We did it so fast, but we were so well rehearsed because we were playing every single day after school. And we will never release it because, you know, it's just, you know, it's pretty damn good for a bunch of 15 and 16 year olds, I think. But, you know, it was never mixed or anything. It's just kind of like, it's real shrill and weird.
Did you live track it all?
No, we did everything separately. It was all layered. But it was like a rough mix, you know, and like,
Okay.
We made the guy was like falling asleep. Like he should have said, okay guys, I'm done. But instead he let us keep going, and we're a bunch of teenagers, and he was
so you're just going to keep going. Right. Right.
Yeah, man. And I did all the vocals, including harmonies, in like an hour. Like just so dumb. But we just had a lot of fire, man. We were just, you know, we recorded every song we had, and and my dad listened to that tape. It was on cassette tape. He listened to that tape every day. You know,
that is so cool, man. He was full bore, 100% supportive. Yeah. Like, that's awesome.
He was big. He paid for our first big photo shoot and for the second album. And I think he paid for the actual first album that we released in 2000. He paid for those sessions as well. It was like $700. And he was just a big supporter, man. Always was. And he came to the shows. And
that's awesome, man.
Yeah, man. He was just a good dude. And I'm grateful for him every day, you know, that he put me on this path, because I feel like without it, I don't know. I mean, I would definitely be doing something in the creative space, you know, whether it be making movies or, you know, film, something in film, or making videos on YouTube. I mean, we used to do that all the time when we were kids. If we had YouTube when I was 15, I mean, game over, you know?
Right, right.
Didn't have that till it took like 10 years for that shit to come out. But, you know, it's like, I'm just grateful for him that he sort of showed me. He never really, it's interesting. He never really was driven to do anything. Like, he just kind of drifted, just kind of drifted. And that to me, maybe it pushed me to not be that way. Like I've always had this hunger, man. I just wanted to get it. And I didn't get that from him. I know that my mom started the business, you know, when she was in her 30s, but kind of entrepreneur. I don't know. Maybe that's where I got it from. But I'm thankful that he showed me that this was possible, though. He's like, look, there you go, right there. Look at that. Look what they're doing.
That's awesome. You know? That is really cool, dude.
And I just aim for the stars, man.
Well, yeah, man, you had all the support in the world. That's fucking awesome, man. Like, my parents were kind of supportive, and then I hit high school, and my parents were very, like, lower working class, so, like, we just kind of was check to check, so that's all I really knew. So I got a job as soon as I could. So I was, you know, playing, like, little local shows at the Emerson in Indianapolis, like, just little small armpit venues, but My mom was uber supportive. She was always like, you know, do it. Fuck it. You know, when you have kids one day, you have to show them you can shoot for your dreams no matter what you got, you know? Like, and that's cool. And I want to be that kind of parent myself. You know what I mean? Like, no matter what my kids want to do, as long as it's not hurting anyone, and fuck, man, like, why not? You know?
Yeah, you gotta be behind them. You gotta support them, and they're gonna go through probably several different things that they really want to do when they grow up, you know.
Right.
So, my son has been pretty stuck on being a gamer. Now he's starting. He wants to be a hip hop star.
Okay.
So he loves rap music. He loves all like new modern stuff. It's more pop music, if you ask me. But
Yeah.
all the stuff with the trap beats and everything. It's kind of like it's like everybody's copying Post Malone now or something, but
Oh yeah, dude. That guy is killing it, and he
yeah,
knows it.
he crushes. He's talented. So,
That's Buck, man. He
and I'm just like, look, man, because I never pushed for him to be anything. I never pushed for him to be a rock star or, and start a band or anything. He plays drums and he plays guitar, but it's I like it because it's just something that he'll have. It's not like he has to use anything. If anything, just to get his emotions,
Right, it's a great outlet.
So I'm glad they have that. My daughter sings and performs and dances. She loves that stuff. So, and none of this stuff has ever been like, you're gonna be this, I'm trying to, I want to see what they want to do, and it's whatever they want to do. I'm gonna tell them, yeah, go for it. But you got to be focused. You got to be driven. You can't expect things to just fall on your lap. You have to go get it. And
Yeah, you got to work for it. That's the truth, man.
yeah, my son, he started his YouTube channel last December, this past Christmas. So coming up on a year, about 9.5, 10 months now. He gets a couple months in, and he's like, man, nobody's really following me. Like, I'm not getting many views, no many likes. I'm like, make better stuff, like.
I mean,
It's
yeah.
like you have to tell them what's up. I said, don't worry about likes and follows and subs, okay? And views. Don't worry about that. Just keep making cool stuff because you like making stuff. Like, just do it because you want to do it, not because you're trying to get likes, you're trying to get
Yeah.
views.
People
Now,
are attracted to passion. That's a fact, you know?
yes, and do something cool with it. Don't do what everybody else is doing. And dude, he's about to hit 900 subs. Like, he's gonna hit a thousand
See, there you
subs
go.
next
Before
month.
you know it, he's going to be at that grand mark. He's gonna be
He's
like, check this
crushing,
out,
man.
Dad. I'm doing it, you know? Like,
Yeah,
that's great.
he just keeps making videos, man. And it's I'm so proud. He just I'm it's amazing. He's 10 years old, and so but that's what I told him. I'm like, look, use the I say don't worry about likes and things like that. You should definitely monitor your likes, your views, your subs, follows, things like that, but only monitor it to see what you should and shouldn't be doing, or what you should do better or double down on. Because like, if you put out a video and it doesn't do well, but then you put out a video that's you're doing something different and that does really well, then you might, buy views or whatever, maybe you get more
Start
subs.
doing
You go,
that, yeah.
okay, I'm gonna double down on this, still do that other thing if you really like it, but maybe try some other videos, so I don't know. I'm just trying to push him in the right direction. It's the same thing with multiplayer on Fortnite. Like, there's a bunch of shitty kids out there, man, but like
I'm
just
awful at that game, man.
talking
Like,
people.
just
Yeah, I'm terrible. Just like, he gets shit all the time from kids, like, oh, you suck, and oh, you're trash. They call each other trash and stuff.
Yeah, that's the big one. Yeah.
And I've had to tell him to stop doing that because he thinks that's the culture and he's supposed to be doing that. I'm like, don't you be calling
Oh.
people trash, dude. But like, but and now he's gotten to the point where he's gotten, just because it's all kids, they're so mean to each other. But he's gotten to
Oh,
the point
dude.
now where he's just like, this kid said this, and I replied back, well, maybe your mom needs a huggy more or something like that. And I was just like, yes, man, that's it, dude. Like,
Kill him with kindness, man. That's usually
he'll
what
say things like, I'm sorry you feel that way. Like, just
Right. Keep it neutral or
yeah,
positive, dude. Don't
you
sink
gotta
to their
learn
level because.
that shit that they're saying doesn't matter because kids hurt themselves over this stuff. It's real.
Oh,
And
absolutely, man. People live
don't want
stream
my kids.
suicides and shit like that, man. Like,
It's fucking
it's
terrible, man.
crazy how
I don't
people
want
just get
my kids to
triggered, man. They're like, wow.
Yeah. I want them to be reinforced in their mind, in their heart, you know, just kind of get thick skin and just be like, just let it fall off, you know, and defend yourself when it's time, but don't let dumb words hurt you or make you want to hurt yourself. It's terrible.
Yeah, man. Just let them be words.
Be strong, you know.
All right, man. So we got some questions for you. My buddy B here, Big Kurt's gonna ask a couple, and then I'm gonna shoot a couple at you, and we'll go from there. If that's all
Shoot.
right.
Shoot.
Okay. So when did you start playing music?
I'm gonna go with 1995. I started the band, but I'll probably I think I started messing with music in 94. Like actually playing and writing songs.
So what genre were you trying to go for in the beginning, and has it changed over time, or did you kind of have the same vision for like what kind of music you wanted to do before you guys really like took off, I mean?
When we started the band, it was mostly we were just I was just trying to write, you know, copies of Green Day songs, really. Like I was just trying to do all that. So pop punk, I guess. And then within a year, I started listening to Sublime and Goldfinger and No Doubt and 311. So that really changed the course a little bit. Started playing ska and reggae and mixing that up. And then I bought an acoustic guitar in the year 2000, and that really helped as well. That changed some things. Started writing some other things, like a little more texture to them. And then I don't know, the 2000s happened, and we were getting hit up by major labels and things. And I don't know. I guess I was contemplating. I didn't know. I didn't know that like people just love. We're eventually gonna love this reggae rock genre thing, and I like all kinds of stuff. So I was trying different things. Like if you listen to our second record, there's a song in Drop D, and it's just it really doesn't belong in the album. If I were to go back and do it all over, I'd take that song off the record because
What
like,
song was that?
oh, it's called Deadline.
Oh yeah, okay.
Yeah, we never play it, and we just look at we're trying to write some like heavy. Fucking like stained Limp
I mean,
Bizkit.
one of my favorite songs has like scream vocals in it. Was it Riddled with Bullets?
Yeah.
Like that song,
I
I
love
was
that
like,
song.
damn. Like I was listening to Detonate like a few weeks ago, and like I just top to bottomed it, and I was like, the song just has this like boom turn. I'm like, holy fuck. Am I,
Yeah.
I even had to like look. I was like, am I still listening to the same band?
Yeah,
So
man.
who did the screams on that song? Who was that?
That was our friend Steve Donovan. He was our one of our former tour managers.
Okay.
We met him in 2012 on the Warped Tour, actually.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, he was doing a not for profit, the Canvas Foundation, I think. You know, remember seeing all the people like with the paint all over them, like they paint
Oh,
themselves.
yeah.
He was running that tent with his buddy, and he approached me about being a tour manager. And then, you know, as we got to know each other, he became a tour manager, and he showed me some of his old music. He was in like a hardcore or like screamo band or something. And I guess I don't remember how we. I might have just texted him like, "Hey, you want to scream on the song?"
He's probably like, fuck
Yeah,
yeah.
he was all about it. He killed it. And so Nick, our bass player, he's into that music, and he covers that live. And we were out in. I think Denver or Boulder. That was Boulder. And Steve came out. He lives out there, and he came out, and he did the screaming part. They traded off. It was cool, man. It was neat.
That's fucking awesome, man. Like, yeah, I was just like, I heard that song, and then like the rest of the album is like, it's got its little heavy points, but it was nothing like that. I was like, holy fuck.
I love that song, man.
Oh, I do too. Like, when I show people you guys, they're like, and then I'm like, all right, check this out. Same band, and then I'll play it, and it'll get to that point, and they just kind of look at me like they just heard A Day to Remember for the first time. They're like,
Yeah.
what?
It's interesting, man. Yeah, you can go from you can go from a song like Sam Wrong to Riddled with Bullets, and it's just It's so funny the difference.
I love Detonate, man. Like that
Thanks.
album is like incredible.
Thanks, man. It
Man.
came from a very emotionally dark time for me, so my brother and I. So it was just I couldn't write songs like Say I'm Wrong. You know, it was just
You weren't in
emotional.
that cheery, happy
Nah, man.
headspace at that point.
You gotta be true. You gotta be true to yourself, man. And
I appreciate that
Uncapable.
about you guys. It's nothing feels forced or like anybody else wrote it for you. Like it doesn't feel like they're not your songs. Like I feel your emotion through your voice. Like it's not like you're singing somebody else's song. Like you know when you hear people do covers and it's like they're just trying to kind of do it justice. Like none of your songs really feel like that. And like that's I think it's one of the big things that kind of made me gravitate towards you guys, 'cause like I've always listened to like Sublime and I love 311. I've seen 311 probably 7 times. Like they're so good.
Yeah, they're sick. 311. I've seen them like 40, 50 times. They're awesome.
That's awesome,
And I've been on tour with them, so I get to see them a lot.
man. Right, that's true. So who are some of your favorite tour mates?
Oh,
Like if you
man.
could build a tour today and go out next week, who would be the first three bands you would call up?
We love touring with like Bumpin' Uglies. And Tropodelic was a lot of fun.
Oh yeah, I heard that. What was the song? Hard Liquor on the Bumpin' Uglies. Oh, I loved it. I was like,
Yeah, he's
damn.
got a great writing style. And then yeah, there's this band called the Bee Foundation back in California, and we did shows with them in like 2008 and 2009, some 2010 I think. But we toured like 4 months with those guys in 2009. Just left home and didn't come home for 4 months. And it was like just the wildest time. You know, we just became really good friends, and we're usually sleeping at the same house because, you know, if we're not in the van, because, you know, somebody approaches us at the show and we go stay with them all together, and just a shit show every night. And drinking and, you know, wasted and hungover the next day. And
And waking up at some random person's house, like how does that go? Because I know,
you
like
know,
for me, when I stay the night at people's houses, like the most awkward fucking thing, like a lot of people don't think about it, is using someone else's shower. Everyone's shower I've ever stayed the night at their house is never the same as like yours, either water pressure, how you turn it on, like it's just a weird situation. Or you may have a random walk in on you because you know they. That's just how it goes around there, you
That's
know?
so funny, man. I've been in a lot of showers that weren't mine, you know. And it's just you get used to it. You just because it's just you just want to shower, you know. And
It's
like,
better than a truck stop, I'd
you know,
say.
yeah. I mean, truck stops are actually pretty nice, to be honest.
Really?
They got nice shower facilities, but no, this is yeah. I mean, I've been in some nasty showers, man. And you just do your thing and get out.
Get out as quick as possible,
I was in
man.
a yeah, I took a shower in a I shouldn't have taken a shower in this one, but we were in Denver and there was a place called the Royal Palace, and it was like we just left this tequila bar, and I think we played there. Yeah, I think we played there that night, and we were drinking all the tequila, like all of it. They were just like, you're like, just give us all the tequila and that'll be fine. And we get to the hotel and it's like middle of the night, we can barely see. It's like $40, cool, you know, just get it. It's like 3 in the morning. And oh my God, dude, it was like
Roach Motel, huh?
the next morning, man, I get in the shower, I'm like, oh my God, you know, I get in the shower and the shower curtain is like scrunched up, like it's not like flat and just it's like scrunched up and just sort of like hanging like hard, you know, like yellow stain, fucking like cigarette smoke.
Oh, geez.
And like it smells so bad. It just smells like cigarettes, like old cigarettes, like an ashtray.
Oh, geez.
And I'm taking a shower and it's kind of just feels kind of gross in there. And like I look down and there's dried blood on the bathroom. Not a stain, there's like dried blood. Like somebody just been there and there was blood.
Smoking a cigarette in the shower while bleeding.
Yeah, I don't know, shooting up or something, man. And like
Oh man.
I don't know. I don't know. But like, and then the our bass player moved the, he's like, there's something behind that like TV stand. He like moves the whole TV stand. There's all this weird shit written all over the wall, like just in the section behind the dresser or whatever, not anything else.
Whoa.
And it was very like cryptic and weird and like witchy looking. And he was just
oh,
like,
oh shit.
I started looking around the room. There's like a coaxial cable, you know, for like for TV, you know, it's just
yeah, yeah.
Back wall, just not even nicely put. The door just swings open because it's just, I guess it had been kicked in a lot and like just so nasty. And like, I called the guys, I'm like, yo, let's get the fuck out of here. Like, it was like 9 a.m. We never, back then, we never got up at 9 a.m. to leave. We was always like as close to noon as possible. And
right.
I woke up and I was like, guys, let's get the fuck out of here. And they're like, yep. And everybody's in the van. You know, our merch guy, he walked in. I didn't know this till later, but he walked in. He was like, I'm going to go back to the van. He just slept in the van that night.
He's like, nope, too sketchy. I'm out.
Man, it's been some questions. But, you know, everything that you do, all the experiences that you have add up to the person you are right now. So,
oh, that's very true, man. You're just a contemplation of all the things you've gone through and your reactions to it, for sure. It mm-hmm. definitely molds who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we've got a couple more questions. We asked this question to all of our guests. If you were stuck on a desert island with 3 albums to listen to for life, like this is all you get music-wise, on a never-dying iPod with 3 albums, what would they be?
Tough one, man. First off, who's got an iPod that don't, who's got an iPod that only holds 3 albums? Come on now.
You got one of those old iPod shuffles, okay?
Yeah, it's like 400 megabytes.
No screen, just the buttons.
Just the click wheel. Let's go with Insomniac by Green Day.
Oh, what a good album.
For sure. probably, oh man. Oof, either probably, you know. Probably 40 Ounce to Freedom by Sublime. This is really hard. And then
we try to hit you with a couple hard ones, some thinkers.
Yeah, either Grassroots or Transistor by 311. I don't know. I love
Transistor is such a good album.
Yeah,
man.
Just because you know you have different vibes, so you want to do different things. Like
right. As I say, you only get 3, so you got to kind of cover the bases. You know,
mix it up a little bit. And yeah, those are probably yeah. I mean, I have obviously other favorite albums, but.
Right.
Those would probably keep me going for a while.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Let's see. Okay, so yeah, what advice would you have for us as an upcoming podcast since you've been doing yours for a little while? You got, what, 100-some episodes now?
Coming up on 129.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, pretty cool. keep making them. You know, that's the best advice I can get. Keep making them because you're just going to get better at it. You know, just like anything else, the more you do it, the better you get at it. And, you know, try to, you know, I started seeing, you got to pay attention to what's going on. And try to stay on top. I started seeing that video pods were the way to go, early last year. I was like, this looks like podcasts are really picking up and a lot of people are doing videos now. And they're doing
both.
Right. They do the video and then they translate it to audio. But so you know, try to make your studio look cool and vibey and make it look like you. And
right.
You know, so I gotta clean this shit up. Oh, this is you guys broadcast.
You're good. We moved the interview to the car because we have like a little studio in my basement next to my drum set. But I live in a small little house right now, and when my dog runs through, it sounds like there's a horse above us. And I was, yeah.
yeah. So just keep making them and try to come up with cool things to talk about. What is the basis of the podcast?
We honestly, it's a safe space for artists and people of any walk of life to come on and talk about how they feel about a lot of the topics we usually talk about are, psychedelics, because we are called Trippy Cupcakes, and like the use of them for help with mental health and I mean, and we talk about like just crazy things, just the things that we care about, spirituality. Like for me, one of the topics we usually ask our people are, because for me, this is it happens. When I go to a concert, I get this feeling like when you leave a church service and like you feel like your cup has been refilled. Like I've always got that feeling from going to live performances and playing shows. Like it feels like a spiritual experience, you know. And like I want to share that with people and just you know let people really talk about what's going on in their lives. And our big one is just to preach no hate and to spread love. Like that's the big one for us.
I love that, man. So really, really push that and just keep just stay true to your message and and just make sure one of the little tips that you can give that I can give is try to make sure, and I need to do this more, but try to make sure you're saying please don't forget to subscribe and rate the podcast on Apple Podcasts, things like that, because it helps with discovery, people
Yeah.
find the podcast.
Just got to remind them about it because they're already listening to your podcast. They're not thinking about what they're going to do afterwards.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I gotta subscribe. Make sure, let me get the five stars, and yeah, rate it and review it, stuff like that. That all helps discovery. But yeah, keep making them and just stay true to your message and try to bring on cool guests, interesting guests, and just be you. Don't try to be anybody else. Just be you.
Okay. And so do you listen to podcasts yourself, or are you a mainly
Yeah.
music in the car kind of guy?
Man, I used to be a music in the car kind of guy, and I feel like a lot of people are the same. They're listening to podcasts now,
I mean, I have just these last couple of years, I've kind of shifted. I mean, I've always listened to like Joe Rogan, but I really like have you ever listened to the Duncan Trussell Family Hour?
I have not. I've heard of that one. I haven't checked that out yet.
It's really good. Man, Duncan Trussell is a goofball anyways. He recently put out a show on Netflix called
The Midnight
The
Gospel.
Midnight Gospel. Yeah. And it's like an animated he has a couple of his podcasts that like are the audio for it, and they have like
Oh, cool.
the dude from Adventure Time, was it Dan Harmon?
No, it was Pendleton Ward.
Pendleton Ward, yeah, he illustrated it, and it's actually really cool, man. Like very, very trippy and very like deep hitting messages. And like he was definitely one of the people that kind of inspired us to start this podcast. It was just we just want everyone to know that it's all love. Like we say it all the time, but we really mean it, you know?
That's great, man. Yeah. I listen to different, like a pretty wide array of stuff, I guess. Conan O'Brien is probably my favorite. Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend is probably my favorite podcast. The guy's ridiculous, man. I love Conan, man. He's the king of late night, in my opinion. He just he's so good. But Rogan, of course. And then I just started listening to Tim Ferriss.
Okay.
You should check him out. Very, I think you'd be into what he talks about. A lot covers a wide array of things.
Okay.
Just how to, it's kind of like self-help, but it's also like interesting ways to hack your life to make it quicker and easier and things.
Okay.
And he wrote a book called The 4-Hour Work Week for all you 9-to-5ers out there. I would recommend listening to that. And then what else? Oh, I was listening to this show called Up and Vanished for a while. After I listened to Serial, which was the one about Adnan Syed from Maryland. He supposedly killed his girlfriend in 99, I think, and there's this
Okay.
whole investigation. There's another one called Up and Vanished that I watched. This girl Tara Grinstead, I think in Georgia, she went missing, and I don't know, that true crime stuff is
Oh
fun.
yeah, I love the serial killer podcast. Parcast has a lot of really, really good ones.
Nice.
I was like stuck on those for a while when I worked in the metal shop. Like, I listened to two or three of them a day, and it's so fucking interesting because it's like. These people live under the radar, and like all their friends and their neighbors and shit are just like they wouldn't know any different. They just think it's regular ass, you know, Ted Bundy from down the street, you know. It's like it's just fucking crazy.
I know. H3 is another one. H3. That's a good one. It's they're just they cover a lot of different things and just it's all like funny news and interesting stuff, and they have just I don't know, they're just funny, and they have cool guests on and things. So
Awesome. Go ahead, Kurt. You got another question?
So where did you get the inspiration for the song ADHD? Because that's actually my favorite song by you guys, and I really
cool.
appreciated your first album. I love the first song. I got hooked on that, but then when I heard ADHD, I was just like, yeah, I need to start listening to these guys because I love that song.
Oh, cool. Thanks, man. Yeah, that song is it's about just not being able to focus. Like, I mean, I say it right there, I think in the first line, like I can't seem to focus on anything I love anymore. It was a time where I just felt really I just started reading books. Like, you know, I can read, but like I could never read books, man. Like I just get like
The attention span part of it.
yeah, man, my I just it's just impossible. I have to read it like three times, like the page, just to retain, and I just can't remember what I just read a couple pages ago. Like I don't know what the story's about, and while I'm reading it, like
No, I
I
grew up
sound
like
like a
that.
squirrel, you know. And and just dumb decisions, forgetting my lyrics while I'm playing, leaving. I left my license here in Maryland when I left for tour, and it's
Damn
like
it.
I'm gonna be gone for a month, 2 months, and
Going to be ID'd every place you go
yeah,
to.
everywhere you go. So I don't have my ID. So that's in the song. Just yeah, just stuff like that, man. Just all it was. I was putting all put together all the dumb things, and just
Everything you was
my
anxious about in that time, you were just
yeah,
writing.
my crazy inability to focus, and
So, what genres do you normally stick to when it comes to listening to music?
I mean, I tend to listen to a lot of reggae and reggae rock. I listen to bands in our scene. I like to hear what they're doing. And there's a lot of great songs, great stuff out there. I listen to a lot of Green Day. I'm not like super adventurous when it comes to music. I have the stuff that I love. I listen to a lot of 90s playlists and things. I'll throw on Foo Fighters sometimes. But I do I'll throw on like Post Malone or Logic, Eminem, stuff like that.
I
It's
love
kind of,
Roger.
yeah, man. I'm all over the place. My kid, he loves some artists lately that I'm digging. I'm like, man, that's really good, you know? And then I'll throw on my old, like I love doo-wop music. Like I have a playlist. It's called Sleepwalk, and it's Sleepwalk is a song by Santo and Johnny, and it's like you've heard it. It's just guitar. And it's guitar driven. There's no lyrics or anything, but it's very sexy and romantic and dark and scary and haunting. It's very strange. But I love it, man. And so all that stuff, there's something about that 50s and 60s like doo-wop stuff, man. Just I feel like I was a teenager back then or something, and I don't know, how
You're
do you
born in the
feel?
wrong era,
Yeah,
huh?
no, I'm happy to be where I'm at now. But I feel like, yeah, maybe if there was a past life, I was a teenager in the 50s or something.
Damn
Maybe I was
good.
in a band or something.
Maybe.
Hip-hop band, had the cool hair.
Right? And the
Yeah.
bowler hat.
Yeah, man. All that.
Have you ever been inspired by bands like The Struts or The Vines? Have you ever heard of them?
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the Struts. That stuff, there's certain bands where it just kind of feels forced. I don't know. But then I'm probably just making a judgment. I know I'm obviously making a judgment. I have no idea what they're about. I don't know where they come from. I don't know what they're into. You know, it's just to me, it just
Right.
sounds like, I don't know. It just doesn't. I think it's one. I think it's one of those bands that you're supposed to like, and I just don't get into it.
I don't like it because you're supposed to like it.
Yeah, I don't know. It's not even like a punk rock attitude. Like fuck that. It's just like,
right. It's just not your scene. I get it.
It doesn't
hit
me. It doesn't. I'm just like, okay. I mean, I see the appeal, but it just doesn't mm-hmm. get me. The Vines were really cool. The Hives, like stuff like that. I there's a couple songs that I like, but I never like listened to them, you know.
Yeah.
I was always just more, you know, Green Day and Sublime, 311, Goldfinger, Suicide Machines, a little bit of Metallica, Linkin Park, Limp. I loved Limp Bizkit. I was a huge Limp Bizkit fan, dude.
Huge Limp Bizkit fan too, man.
God, I love Limp
Bizkit. I seen them with Korn on the New Metal Is Back tour not too late. It was probably about 4 or 5 years ago.
Oh, sick.
And I was like 20, but like I felt like I was 15. Like,
yeah.
I just wanted to just yell fuck you to everyone and just Fred Durst myself out. Like, I just, there's something about the energy that New Metal had that was just like so angsty and so like fuck you in your face that was just like really appealing to me, especially like when I first heard it. I was like, oh man.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's got back the chainsaw and he'll skin your ass raw. Like, who says that shit in a song, man? Like, this is crazy. Like,
it is. It's, yeah, it was incredible. It was a good time. It's a good time for sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So you said you're also a fan of Linkin Park, right?
Yeah.
Were you a fan of most of their early work or their later work, or did you kind of like, were you a fan of like everything they've done? Because I really got into a lot of their later stuff when they did Thousand Suns. I actually have that on vinyl. That's one of my favorite albums. And The Messenger was probably my favorite song from that. I felt like Chester was really emotional in that last song on that album, because I think that was right before he started getting really into his depression. And I feel like I relate a lot to Chester just because I struggle with depression myself and multiple mental illness. So I really get into music on an emotional level, I feel like. Do you get emotionally with music as well?
Yeah. And real quick, your mic is sounding really strange now. It's like very just. Oh wait, hold on. Talk again.
Can you hear me now?
Now you're good.
Sorry about that.
You should say that all over again, and then cut this, and then.
Edit. Oh
yeah.
About the Linkin Park, or
yeah, because that was a good question.
Okay. So were you a fan of Linkin Park's later music or earlier stuff? Because I really got into their later stuff because I felt like on the album A Thousand Suns, Chester was really starting to get deeper into his depression and his music was starting to get way more raw and emotional. Even though they went for a more positive, uplifting kind of vibe, I felt like Chester was still really, really struggling a lot. And I was actually in the psych ward, I believe, when he passed away, possibly.
Oh shit.
So it was pretty emotional, and I was just really emotionally involved in their music, and I just felt like I lost a friend because I've listened to his music for so long, and you just build a relationship to that, I feel like.
Yeah, man, I agree with you. You know, when someone has been in the game that long, you know, since I think 2000 that record came out, and that first record, Hybrid Theory,
yep.
And you know, you grow up with them. You grow up with a band like that. You know, that's somebody that's been around for, you know, I guess it was 17 years when he died. It's like, that's a long time, you know. And so they're like your homies. You know, every time they put out a record or something, it's like you, like, oh, my friends are back. You know, some new tunes. And you relate, you know. And so I was on the opposite end. I really enjoyed their older stuff and got a little less, came out of it a little bit. The older I got, the further they got. But still, I enjoyed most of the singles. I didn't go into the last few records. Nevertheless, super talented. Great band, man. They just tried different things and really kind of rode the wave of, you know, just kind of staying in touch with what was, you know, the tones and the elements and the talent, the sound of their time, you know, every time I put out a record. And it just, Yeah, just a great band, man. And it's such a loss. He was a super talented guy and had a wonderful, versatile voice. No one's gonna be able to do what he did.
No, there will never be another Chester Bennington. He was a one of a kind musician, and I love their music so much, and it was like just wow. Like, I don't think anybody was expecting that. And I feel like the last album they did, God, I'm trying to think of the name of it, but it was the last one, and I know the first song on that album was No One Can Save Me Now. And it was just like,
He knew.
wow, he knew he was gonna go, and I was just like, damn, like he was telling his goodbye in this album, and I was just like, wow.
No, I've
Like,
noticed
oh.
that a lot recently too. Like with I'm not a huge like Juice WRLD fan, but like his albums that have come out like since he's passed, it sounded like he kind of knew it was about to happen. Like same thing with Mac Miller when that album came out with Self Care on it. Like
Yeah.
there's a lot of really deep shit on there that like kind of pointed to like, yo man, I'm really depressed and I need help.
I mean, he, Mac was, he
Like my
said,
favorite rappers, like I just that one really crucially like kind of fucked me up. I was just like, what?
he was, again, he's one of those artists that I didn't pick up on until after he died, unfortunately. And I was bummed out looking back, but he was, and that song Brand Name, he says it. He's like, to all the people that sell me drugs, don't be mixing with that bullshit. I'm not trying to be a member of the 27 Club. It's like, fuck, dude. And that's what happened. You get,
Yeah,
shit mixed
same
with
thing with
fentanyl, dude.
Morrison, Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah, well, same
Dude.
thing with Juice WRLD. He has a song called Legends, and he's like,
I feel like he just made a dumb mistake, man.
yeah, he said, like, what's the 27 Club? We ain't even making it to 21. And he
Yeah.
just turned 21 before he died. It's like, what the fuck? It's like he was reading a crystal ball that was like, look, put out the shit, you're gonna die soon anyways. Like
Yeah, he played a show with us. We played, not with us, but
what?
not
It was
with
like a
us.
festival.
No, it was a venue in Atlanta, that we it was the same venue. It was just a different room in the venue. So
Right.
his bus was parked right next to our van, and I had no idea who he was, but the place was packed. There was a bunch of girls screaming. That's all I remember. And that was probably like, I don't know, 2 years before he died, year
Right.
and a half, something like that. But my son loves him. But yeah, it's really sad to see these talented people go, man. And it's like the best artists are tortured, mentally. And we
And
only
that's like
have
a
so much
common
time with
thing
them.
these days.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. And it's a tough world, and I go back to what I said earlier. We're trying to raise our kids to be strong headed and not let things bother them, but when things do bother them, to come talk to us, and
Right, before
whatever it
something
is.
happens, like
Yeah,
you don't
you
know what
can't
someone's
change.
going on with,
You can't reverse it, man. You can't reverse it. When you if you do that, if you kill yourself,
You can't take it
that's
back.
it, man. That's it. You're gone. And it's like what could we have done? Like, we could help this person, and it's just sad.
Right.
I remember with Chester, it's like you see his I guess his wife or somebody posted a video of him like 36 hours before he died, just hanging out with his kids, having a good time, laughing and stuff.
Was completely unexpected. I mean,
Yeah.
it was just, yeah,
It's
very
like
unexpected.
looking back, you maybe saw the signs. I remember when that record came out, that last record, he was upset because it was getting bad reviews by a lot of the fans and stuff, and he was just like, fuck you all, we don't need you to listen to the music anyway. I don't give a shit if you like it. And I think he was just hurt, maybe it was just like he was pouring
Deeply
himself
hurt.
into it. Yeah, he was pouring himself into it, and maybe he just felt like none of the shit
You
matters. My shit sucks anyway. Nobody's gonna miss me. It just sucks. And to go into that state of mind where you go through with it, and there's literally no turning back. You're the point of no return. Like, I've made my mind up. I'm doing this, and it's just like
That's the
Wow.
thing about social media, man. It could just like Logic talked about it on his last album. Like, look, man, like one of the main reasons why I'm done with this shit. I mean, he's not done, done. You know, Logic, he's never
Yeah.
gonna be quitting.
He's gonna
But
come
he's
back
done
in
putting
5
out his
years.
own records, and then he puts out a Twitch mixtape. So
Yeah.
he's one of my favorite rappers alive, but you know, Motley Crue said they were done 100 times too.
Yeah.
Same thing with one of my other favorite bands. It was my dad's favorite, Kiss. I mean,
Yeah.
how many farewell tours is it until we finally be like, are you done or what?
You love it, man. You love it. You can't leave it. You know, you can put it down for a bit maybe, but you're gonna come back to it. It's just the nature of like how we are. I've wanted to quit 1,000 times, for various reasons, but I've been doing this a quarter century, and there's a lot of reasons to want to stop doing it, but there's a lot of reasons to keep going,
Right.
and man, they're I don't know, it just means a lot more to me, so.
So the social media aspect of it. So, how do you feel about when people, like me personally, during the holiday season, sometimes I take a break from social media. I just uninstall like Instagram and Facebook and Snapchat and all that shit from my phone so I can reconnect with my family. Because I feel like sometimes we just get so wrapped up in the comments and the likes and shit that like we almost forget we're real people. We just feel like we're this online avatar that we have to keep up with, like some Black Mirror type of shit, you know? Like how do you deal with that? Like, 'cause obviously you're more, I don't want to use the word famous, but like you're known on a bigger scale. Like how do you deal with that? Like, do you have someone that moderates your accounts, or do you deal with it all yourself? 'Cause I know I was talking to you on Instagram. You messaged me back, which really kind of blew my mind, to be real. Like, I commented on a picture and you were like, dude, let's do it. Like,
I think more, okay, I'll try to answer. You have a couple questions here, so
I'm sorry.
no, it's all right, it's all right. We Everything's curated these days. Everybody puts their best shit up. Everybody just
Right.
looks their best. All the families are happy, and everything's good.
Yeah, it never shows the real shit, you know? Like,
Yeah, there I think there's a few that do that, but mostly it's just all the good stuff. And nobody, who am I to tell you to air your dirty laundry on Instagram, but
right.
but that's what we sort of come up with this idea, whether it's, I don't know, intended or not, like we have to keep up with the Joneses. We have to
Yeah.
show that we got cool things too, and we're happy too,
Right.
and so you got to kind of get over that. But yeah, I mean, I have a management team that takes care of all the boring posts, like we got a show coming up, like, or who bought new merch, or whatever, what's your
I got
favorite
you.
song from this album, but I'm in the DM. On every platform. I've got basically I have an account personally where the band has an account on all the platforms, so I've got double of everything. You know what I mean? So I
Right.
just go in and I spend time everywhere. And I think when you said how I answered you on Instagram,
Yeah.
I think more artists or celebrities or whatever you want to call it, need to be yes men and women. I think we need to stop being so fucking cool and just grant the interviews. And I say grant, that sound like such an asshole, but do the podcast, do the shows, make yourself available. You don't have to be so fucking elusive and
Right.
mysterious, and like
Like
there's
a
some
you
there.
live on this level, but we're on this level type of thing. Because like
Yeah.
I used to work as a stagehand at a big venue here, and I've met like, I'm not like trying to toot my own horn, but I've met a good amount of famous people, and majority of them, I'm not trying to shoot any names, but like they're kind of dicks. They just act like you're just another piss ant, you know? They'll step on you and keep moving. Like, so it was kind of cool. Like I don't know. I felt a little starstruck when you hit me back. You're like, yeah, dude, let's fucking do it. I was like, oh shit, this is awesome. So,
Yeah,
like,
man.
we just want to thank you, like, from the bottom of our hearts for taking this hour and almost 20 minutes now, like, to sit down and bullshit with us, man. Like, it means a lot, especially coming from a fan that, like, I mean, I listen to you guys daily and I love your podcast. So it's just thank you. You know, thank you a lot.
Oh man, thanks for reaching out, man. Like I said, I want to, I don't know, I just you got to level the playing field. You can't be so, you know, I don't know. Like I said, elusive and dark and mysterious. There's definitely like artists that like, you know, I'm never gonna get Eminem on my podcast. He's just, you know,
Right,
fine, man.
right.
Like you do you, that's cool, man. I'd be
I
awesome, but.
appreciate and respect you, but I get
Yeah,
it,
I totally get it, man. You know, but some people just don't want to do it. But I don't know. I think it's nothing to sit here and talk for an hour, you know, and just kind of whatever bullshit, whatever, man. I don't know. I think it needs to happen more.
it does, man. I just feel like my band's not big or anything, but I feel like if someone was to hit us up, I mean, I'd be like, fuck yeah, dude, let's do it. Like,
Yeah,
it's
man.
kind of like a it's a like a business thing, really. It's like a dual exposure type of situation. It's like it's good for you and it's good for us, so why not, you know? And I always like making new friends anyways. Like,
It's
that's
good.
really what it's about, man. Like,
It's good to get different perspectives and talk to people you haven't talked to before. And you're right. Yeah, there's an element of cross promotion and all that. But I don't know. I think it just shows that, you know, you break down the barrier a little bit. You don't,
you can be real, you know, like,
yeah, just be real and just talk.
and we appreciate that, man. So we have like a couple more questions and we'll let you get back to doing the do.
Sure.
I made dinner for my kids too. So when you messaged me, I was literally doing the same thing. I was like, ah,
Nice.
and it made me feel a little less nervous. I was like, oh, he's a fucking regular guy. He's probably making his kids dinner just like me. I just got home from working a 10-hour day, like, and I'm
Yeah.
still gonna come home and like cook dinner for the kids. So it was like
Oh yeah, man.
a little
I
less nervous.
what do people think I do? You know, when I'm
You know,
like
that's the thing though. Like,
it's just funny
people
to
don't
think
know until they know, you know? Like,
Agreed.
so, you know, we appreciate that. So one of our questions we asked all the guests, how do you feel about aliens? Are they, do you think they're real?
Man, there's got to be something out there. There's
Have
got
you
to
ever had a like a sighting? Because me and Big Kurt here have actually seen something. We might have thought seen a UFO.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
All right, you tell me your UFO story, and I'll tell you mine.
Let's go. You tell him, Kurt.
All right. So, we were, this was about 4 in the morning, about, you think it was probably 3 weeks ago?
2 weeks ago,
2 weeks
probably.
ago? It was probably 2 weeks ago. It was
Recent.
about four. It was about 4 in the morning. I was about to head home. We were literally right outside on the front lawn, and we see this like beam of light in the sky, but the lights around it are literally like changing direction and color. This thing
Whoa.
was turning like orange, red, green, and yellow,
Purple
and like
even.
purple, yeah.
Yeah.
And it looked like there was one tailing around it. So like it was so weird because as soon as I took off and I got on the street that I get on to go home, my speaker, my JBL, shut down and it was at full battery when I got in the car.
Oh, shit.
It's spooky.
I was just like, holy shit, is my whole car gonna shut down? Like that was insane.
At least you didn't
Damn.
get caught and probed.
Yeah, right. I mean that shit, yeah.
Damn. So just like aliens, just like we figured it out. They've been coming here for decades, like draining batteries.
Dude, you know, and that dude, they're doing it. You
They need
know, they want our
energy.
energy and they could do it remotely.
That's so crazy. Man, so my dad and I, when I was 15, we're going to my driving school thing to get my license, hopefully. I
Driver's
failed.
Ed.
Yeah, I failed the test the first day.
Damn
Man, that
it.
sucks,
Damn it.
bro. He let me drive back though.
Shout out to your dad, man. He sounds like the coolest, chillest, cute, like, dude, that's awesome.
He was, man. He was super cool. Yeah, so I was doing the drive of shame, and we were like just a couple minutes from my house. When he's like, hey, pull over a second, and we pulled over on this hill near my house, and we watched these like it looked like planes, right? But it wasn't a plane. It looked like more like a bullet, and it was just like
Same, dude.
it
Yeah.
was like, but it was this is the middle of the day, and like it was just kind of there was one, and it went like this, and it just sort of evaporated, and then There's another one. There was like five or six of them in a row, same trajectory, same path, same flight path. And it was like pretty quick, you know, and just gliding across the sky.
And where were you?
We were in Aberdeen. We were like a couple minutes from my house. It was very strange. And it was just weird, man, how they just appeared and disappeared. And they were just, they looked the same. They didn't have wings, bro. And then
what?
4 years later, I was with my homie. We were driving in Pennsylvania and we were cruising and same shit. There was another, I don't know if there was more than one. I can't remember. I saw this thing and it was in front of us. I was like, bro, I saw this with my dad like 4 years ago. Holy shit. So I don't know, man. I feel like there's something out there and maybe they're checking in. Maybe, you know, it's like maybe we're like this race of seedlings that just like got out of hand. And now it's just like, we're just a big petri dish and they're like
just checking in on us. Yeah, like y'all are fucking shit up down there.
Yeah, maybe they're giving us cancer and seeing how we deal with it. Maybe
the coronavirus came from space.
Coronavirus from space, and you know what I mean? Like that's what you do when you got lab rats and shit. You're like you're testing shit on them. You know, it's like
that's fair.
Maybe I don't know. That's the first time I thought of that, to be honest. But yeah, I don't know. There's got to be something, man. Just, when you look in the sky, I tell my family this all the time, and they're just like, whatever, dad, but like a total dad moment, you know, but like, I'm just like, guys, come here. Look. I point to the sky and I'm like, look at that. You see all the stars? Each one of those is a sun with its own planets. Imagine that. Just wrap your mind. And they're just like, I don't know. I can't even. Yeah. And my fiance she's like, stop. I can't, she can't deal with it. It makes her feel really small and it like scares her.
Gives her like an anxious like, feeling.
Yeah,
like,
she's frightened. Fuck. You know, it's just too big, you know. And I'm like, I get it. I'm like, it's when you start to think about how small
the pond is too fucking big, man.
Too fucking big, man. And when you like zoom out, when you just keep zooming out and they're like, this is the furthest out we can get, and this is what we see. Like you're just like, I can't even see where we are anymore. Like they're just
right.
It blows my mind, you know, and just the fact that this maybe we started as a nothing and exploded into something. I don't know. And then I was watching this video recently with what's going to happen, you know, like just this and this. It got into like one thousand trillion years. I mean, just numbers that you can't even fathom, you know, like just
right
into the future. There's gonna be this whole like once all the planets are gone and they get swallowed like burnt out by the sun and all the suns are gonna eat all their planets and like then like it we're basically gonna have like a black hole like party. Like there's just gonna
it's like
gonna
a singularity.
Well, that, but like, just gonna be black holes everywhere, and and just like eating each other, and then like twisting around, and like they make it sound all romantic and stuff, dancing forever, and you know whatever. But like,
the dance of black hole death. Yeah,
until eventually, dude, it gets so far. It's like I watched this 30-minute video the other night. Like
it just blew your fucking noodle, and you were just like,
yeah. Until eventually. All of the energy in the cosmos is exhausted. All the lights turn out and, you know, the stars are dead, long dead. The last black hole collapses on itself and it's just fucking nothingness, just black.
What?
Space is empty nothingness. And it's just like,
just a dark room of nothing.
Dark room with nothing going on. No lights, no nothing. And it's just like,
damn.
What? And like nothing can survive out there. It's just like, what? It just makes you think like, God damn. Like, what am I doing with my fucking life? Like,
yeah, dude. It's all going to be nothing before you know it. Holy fuck.
Yeah, man. But it's awesome to think about. I love it. It just blows my mind. It's great, man.
Awesome. Dude, that is fucking insane.
Yeah.
Dude. Okay, so we got one more question for you because we're coming up on an hour and a half, and I'm sure you probably got shit to do.
Yeah, my daughters are gonna
So,
be like, come on, come hang out with me.
here, come on, Dad. I know my kids keep looking through the window like, are you coming in? So, let's talk about spirituality a little bit. I know a lot of people are really kind of uncomfortable with it. It's like a politics thing. Like some people are just like it's a no-no topic, but it's something we like to talk about on Trippy Cupcakes because it's like for a lot of people it's a driving factor of who they are and how they are. So like where do you fall on the spirituality spectrum, and does it influence your music and in your life at all really?
Hold on one sec. What's up, baby? Yeah, I'll get it for you. Hold tight. Okay. She wants ice cream.
At
I'll be there, baby.
eight
Hold on.
o'clock,
Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah, it's almost time for bed. So
She
yeah,
was hoping to
spirituality.
sneaking on you because you were in the middle of something. You just like, yeah, whatever, get out
Yeah, she can't reach that shit anyway, so she's
of
super cool.
here.
But yeah, man, spirituality, I guess I fall on the side of just like I don't know, just trying to exude positive energy and I'm working on myself constantly, trying to be a better person and trying not to I used to get in bad moods really quickly. Like everything would make me mad, you know. I mean, I've been like a positive per I don't know. I've been like a nice kind of positive person my whole life, but there were a lot of moments that would just like make me mad and things and start to realize like what really matters. And again, I go back to realizing what you can and can't control and let the things you can't control just let them happen and deal with them as it comes and approach everything with a positive mind and react in the best way possible. And you know, things will work out, you know, and try not to be too stressed, you know. And then so you know that message, I try to put that message in the music, you know, and just get people to
Relax and just deal with the shit that you could do something about, not try your, not try to stress about
yeah.
the shit that's really out of your control and out of your reach,
Yeah, 'cause it's a futile fight to it's kind of like it's kind of like artists that wanna shit all over the streaming services and try to tell everybody to buy CDs again, you know, a dead technology.
It's like, look, man, you either got to get with the times, or the times are going to run right past you. Like,
Yeah, man, it's like you
I mean,
gotta
it sucks
be.
because like I own hella CDs and shit, but like I get it,
Yeah, me too.
like a dumbass amount of CDs. But the thing is, like, you just gotta realize, man, streaming services are where it at, man. Like, I'm a Spotify guy. Like,
Yeah.
personally, like the day an album drops, it's on Spotify, and I could download that shit and listen to it offline if I want to, because I pay for the service. So
You
it's like.
have to be watching what people consume, how people consume, and this is how they do it now. And you know, CDs are still valuable in the sense of like of merch. Like, you know, look, I put out an album back in November and I made CDs. You know what? But
Fuck yeah.
I did it because vinyl's too expensive
Right, right.
and I was just like, you know what, I want something cool to sell at shows because that's what it is, it's just merch, man. People just have it, you sign it, and then they throw it on the dash and they listen to you on Spotify. It's just how it works. So yes,
Yeah, that's
use them
true,
for
man.
merch, make that quick 10 bucks, but you know, it's all about embracing the new and making it work for you, you know. So if you're going to be stubborn. And this goes for anyone and anything. It's like a kind of a fundamental thing. Like, you know, if you're going to be stubborn and just want to be like this and turn into a man child,
Yeah, be the
you
eat a
know, that's what
Lunchable for
kids
every
do.
meal type of guy.
Dude, you just get, you got, you're gonna, you're not gonna, things will not work in your favor. And all you're doing is you're compounding just more bad negative things that are going to happen to you. You know, you gotta roll with the punches, go with the flow. And make a bad situation, flip it on its head and make it work for you know.
Absolutely, man.
And Spotify and Apple is not a bad situation. It's a wonderful situation. I used to have to burn CDs and mail them to people. You know, now yeah. I can go. Oh, copy.
Here's the link.
And send within seconds. You're listening to the song, like somebody, you know, across the world. It's like it's a beautiful time to be alive, and people need to realize that.
And that helps the reach too. Like, you know, people in other countries can easily get on these streaming services, but they'll have to pay like international shipping to get an American band over to England. You know what I mean? Like their CD. So it's like, I think it kind of cuts that shit out too.
Yeah. And realize, look, if you thought you're going to make money from music, you know, it's a nice thought. I make money from music. I do, but I make more money from selling merch and getting people to my shows and doing, setting up side hustles and things based around.
So it's the legwork that really makes the money come in.
Yeah. It's the legwork, you know, the money that you make from streaming, it's not great. It's not. And you gotta be streaming a lot to really see, you know, a decent sized check, but, it's like a bonus. It's like a little bit of like, here's a little something for your work. You got to look at your songs as assets. You know, you have to just grow the catalog, get more assets out there to go out there and make you money. That's really what it is. If you're looking at it from a money perspective, but the more music you have out there, the more content. If you're a YouTube creator, the more videos you have, it's the same thing. You know, it's just people will find you and you keep making noise. And if it's good enough, you know, it can be something lucrative later on, but way later. Starting a band today, don't expect anything great to happen for at least 10 to 15 years. That's just how it goes.
I mean, I was going to say, like, I didn't know you guys have been around for as long as I've been alive. Like, that's fucking crazy. Like, I just discovered you guys in 2012. Like,
yeah, I was in a band almost 20 years when you found us.
See, that's what I'm saying. Like, you guys had it pretty much fucking pearled. Because, like, as I heard you guys, I was like, damn, I've never heard anything like this live. Like, this is bullshit.
Mm-hmm. Your mic's messed up again. It's weird.
Is it good?
Nah. It's so weird. I wonder if that's on my end. I don't know.
What about now?
Anyway.
Are you good?
No, it still sounds weird.
Okay. I'm trying to think.
Maybe plug in that thing again and unplug it. See if it messes with your.
Can you hear us?
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, actually, we were actually getting pretty close to wrapping it up, man. Is there anything that you want to say to our people or people that listen?
You know, just keep on living, man. Keep trying to be the best person you can and be good to others. And, you know, don't settle for what they told you had to be, you know, get out there. And if you got something on your mind, let it out. And if you're a creative person, you know, start creating and use these amazing platforms that we have for free to get your thing out there. And if you're someone that works at a job and you're totally happy with your job and your situation and the money you make and the family and the people you hang out with, then you've already won. So don't listen to me, you know?
Awesome, man. Well, we really appreciate you, and I'll be looking forward to the video.
Yeah. Thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
Yeah, man. Thanks for your time, and we're out.
Later.
Later, man.